This is AgriPulse Open Mic. I'm your host, Jeff Nally. Our guest this week is Christy Seifert, President and CEO of the Farm Credit Council. AgriPulse Open Mic is brought to you by the American Sugar Alliance. American sugar production supports over 151,000 jobs and contributes more than $23 billion in annual economic activity. Learn more at sugaralliance.org. AgriPulse Open Mic continues with Farm Credit's Christy Seifert next. American sugar beet and sugarcane farmers help keep grocery store shelves stocked with sugar, an American-made, all-natural ingredient. American sugar production supports more than 151,000 jobs and contributes more than $23 billion in annual economic activity. Family farming legacies, American manufacturing jobs, and our national food security need strong farm and trade policies. Learn more at sugaralliance.org. This is AgriPulse Open Mic. The economic challenges of low commodity prices and high input costs is weighing on farms across America. Christy Seifert, President and CEO of the Farm Credit Council, says the level of financial stress depends upon the diversity of revenue streams for each operation.
Are row crop farmers diversified? Are they diversified into livestock? What we're seeing is livestock truly is, especially cattle, livestock is that bright spot in the ag economy right now, and folks are using that livestock piece of their operation in many cases to finance the row crops and other pieces of their operation that are under true stress right now. We are cautiously optimistic. We've seen some of the prices jump recently. We've seen some movement, some positive movement in soy and some other areas lately. Hopefully that continues. What we really need in agriculture is more demand. We need greater demand that can in turn, of course, support and improve the economic outlook for farmers. So I think we're all cautiously optimistic we will see some demand improvement for a number of row crops and other commodities, specialty crops as well.
Well, if this was a one-year situation, would be different, but this is easily for some now moving into the fourth year. Clearly, producers have been dipping into reserves to survive this.
I think it is really important to keep in mind this is not the 80s. Thankfully, this is not the 80s, but those who are feeling stress are really, really feeling it. You know, in the 80s, we had high interest rates. Thankfully, we are not experiencing that right now. We had land values that did not hold back in the 80s, and right now, we're cautiously optimistic land values are going to continue to hold. That's a difference as well. Those who are hurting are really, really hurting, and Farm Credit is stepping up and stepping in to help provide guidance, to provide coaching, to provide support as best we can through these challenging economic times for many.
How are land values and machinery values holding up?
Our team was looking at the numbers recently, and real estate in agriculture represents about 83% of the assets. It's tremendous. It is a large piece of the pie for farmers and ranchers. The next category is just very, very small by comparison, and that is the machinery, the equipment values, alongside some other assets. But real estate is the biggie. It is truly the large piece of the pie. And what I have heard from our associations across rural America is that, you know, we are seeing land values hold. We are cautiously optimistic those will continue to hold. And we'll see how this continues to play out on the equipment side as well.
What did we learn in the 80s as policy changed that is helping to buffer and protect us from going back there again? where we saw the exodus of farmers, but we also saw the exodus of bidders who might be able to buy land or buy machinery.
A number of provisions over time have changed. With respect to farm credit, of course, strengthening the farm credit system, many changes were made to ensure that we can meet mission in a meaningful way. But I'm also reminded how much ag policy has changed in the time since the 1980s, much more market-oriented. And, of course, that brings some challenges on its own as well, and the need sometimes to provide additional support if farm safety nets are not functioning sufficiently. And so I think that we've seen over the past year, as we think about the One Big Beautiful Bill Act becoming the vehicle for improved farm policies, to modernize farm policy, even since 2018, the last time the Farm Bill was reauthorized.
Talk about trade overall and what the U.S. farmer, from the crop and the livestock perspective, need in terms of market opportunities.
We are so hopeful that there will be greater opportunities for demand for U.S. commodities. And trade is certainly one of those avenues to boost the demand side of the equation. We hope that there will be continued opportunities for trade agreements and trade purchasing commitments, whether that's China or elsewhere in the world. I know there are a lot of organizations working globally on a daily basis to try and unlock markets. And I think that would be tremendously helpful for U.S. agriculture, having those destinations around the world. I also think there are other, you know, domestic opportunities as well, for us to continue using, U.S. agriculture commodities and products in meaningful ways, whether that's, you know, bio-based products or biofuels, but also, you know, you look at opportunities, here at home and abroad. There are many that are possible for U.S. agriculture to plug into so that we can keep moving our product and boost that demand.
E15 was promised a year ago, didn't happen, hoped for again this year, still hasn't happened, and waiting for RVO numbers from EPA. In terms of demand, a number of renewable fuel groups and farmers say this would be an easy way to pick up domestic demand for U.S. commodities.
I hear from our farmers and our associations just true, sincere interest in all sides coming together and finding a solution, because that certainly would be another avenue for our U.S. commodities to boost the economy, but also contribute meaningfully to the U.S. economy.
Following the bridge assistance coming from the administration, is there a need for additional assistance for farmers, especially to bridge over until new programs are available later this year?
I have talked to individuals who are very, very grateful for the support, the assistance provided to date, and very, very eager to see those checks. When I've talked to some of my friends in the specialty crop space, you know, what I've heard is appreciation for the $1 billion of the $12 billion provided by USDA, that $1 billion being provided to the specialty crop industry. But, you know, I get the sense that there would be interest in more than that, just given some of the challenges facing some of those specialty crop producers, and hope that there might be more ahead. You know, I think that there's a long time between now and October when the benefits from Title I will show up. I know great appreciation is out there for not only the economic assistance, but the shoring up of Title I farm safety net. That will be very, very helpful. So I think in terms of, is a supplemental needed? Is more resources, are more resources needed? I think if you ask many, they will say yes. But I think too, you know, what does that look like? When would that hit? Just some questions about how that would be structured as well.
What makes Farm Bill 2.0 so critical for farmers here in 2026?
Farm Bill 2.0 contains the provisions that were not eligible for inclusion in that budget reconciliation process. That one big beautiful bill, HR1, whatever you call it, the Farm Bill was partially completed in that process in the summer of 2025. So what is outstanding now really needs to be addressed. And for farm credit, those are the credit title provisions, like modernizing and updating FSA, the Farm Service Agency loan limits and program eligibility requirements, just to reflect the needs of agriculture today. It also includes opportunities for improvement to the process of farm credit financing those essential rural community facilities. So many of us live in rural America or grew up in rural America and know the needs in rural America are very, very real as it relates to community facilities. And we want to make sure that we are able to better meet those needs. So for farm credit, there are some very real needs that must be addressed in a Farm Bill 2.0 this year. I know there are 12 titles to a Farm Bill 2.0 and a lot of different needs and interests of others as well that can be supportive to agriculture in rural America. Our hope is there will be a path to enact a Farm Bill 2.0 this year. This has been multiple years in the making. So many hearings, so many discussions have taken place to get us to this point. Now Congress just needs to get it over the finish line and to the president's desk.
The 2018 Farm Bill, I am told, was using a lot of data that really came out of 2014. So I'm thinking of the producer who's looking for a loan and having challenges and would normally look to USDA and the FSA loan programs. How much help could come for some producers now? And if those numbers were updated to reflect the economy of the day?
Jeff, you have just hit the nail on the head with respect to why farm policy needs to be revisited and reviewed periodically. It should not be a permanent provision in terms of we really need flexibility in agriculture because inflation happens, because wars happen. There are all kinds of issues that have happened since the 2018 Farm Bill was signed into law, and having the ability to revisit, review, modernize farm policy periodically is critically important. And the agriculture committees in the House and the Senate are absolutely critical at doing that. And so we really appreciate that we have strong leadership on the House and Senate agriculture committees and hope they are able to deliver a Farm Bill 2.0 this Congress.
I'm asking you to speak for the ag lending industry. If those numbers were updated, could the lending institutions of the country help more producers operate in 26?
I think so. I think about just dollars right now in anybody's pocketbook. They just don't go as far as they did in 2018 for a variety of reasons. And it's the same as you think about modernizing loan limits in those FSA programs. You know, the dollars just that we have now are not going to finance that poultry house or whatever you're looking to improve your operation with, or build your operation. And so if we modernize loan limits, it builds capability, it builds your ability to support the local economy as well.
So there were improvements made to crop insurance in the budget reconciliation, including some higher subsidies for higher level of coverage. But from the lender perspective, how important still is crop insurance in these economic times we find?
the boost provided in terms of affordability in the One Big Beautiful Bill Act last summer, I think that just is another way that farmers were able to tap into additional risk management options and explore what might have been viewed as unaffordable before. So I really appreciate that there were improvements to crop insurance, especially on the affordability side with respect to the budget reconciliation bill last summer.
Okay. I spent some time on your website prior to our conversation, and I noted that you also were asking Washington for funds and some improvement to help the fishing industry. We don't often talk about that in the middle of the country in the flyover states, but what does that mean to the nation?
I'm glad you asked that, because we have this great ability right now to support agriculture and agribusinesses, but we have folks in the fishing industry who want access to our credit as well. And so we have worked to try and include language in a Farm Bill 2.0 to provide our lending services to fishing related businesses. And, you know, it's part of agriculture too. So we really appreciate the opportunity to service these folks who are wanting to provide aquaculture and fishing.
One of the challenges of whether there's additional assistance that would come for agriculture or whether there's a Farm Bill 2.0 is what vehicle will Congress use to bring it to the finish line? Can it be standalone, or is there another vehicle? And I'm told there's really not another must-pass piece of legislation that's due until next September. How did we raise the issue that a farm bill is important for food security, that's important for rural America, and also to help farmers survive these challenges?
We have to keep talking about it. We have to keep making it front and center for everyone to help folks understand the urgency, the need to get this done this year. I think our talking about it in D.C. and folks talking about it across the countryside when policymakers are coming to do visits in local areas, I think it's really important to share that. Election years like this provide opportunities for a lot of connections. We have, of course, a lot of primaries that will occur across the country. We will have the general election in November. We already know of over 50 House members who have announced their retirement. So there are a number of new candidates out there who want to be elected to federal office. And so making sure that you make connections with those folks early and often, and especially if they are elected, and sharing your story. We are doing that in Farm Credit on a regular basis. I know a number of farm groups and other groups are doing the same, but boy, that direct connection, the telling your story, absolutely critical.
House Agriculture Committee Chair Glenn Thompson is stepping out of his lane and looking at the farm labor crisis in the country. But would Farm Credit echo the effort to try to get something done to have an adequate workforce for ag?
Jeff, in 2025, in my first year with Farm Credit, I visited over half of the Farm Credit institutions in the country. A lot of travel to hear directly from our Farm Credit associations about issues that are top of mind for our customer owners, top of mind for them. Of course, as we've talked about, real true farm policy issues in the sense of a Farm Bill 2.0 are top of mind, but the farm labor issue was certainly a common theme that I picked up in my travels across the country over the past year. A lot of folks sincerely interested in some type of solution to the farm labor challenges. And so we're very interested to see how Chairman Thompson addresses or proposes to address the farm labor challenges. He's been a true champion for rural America, and I have no doubt he's very interested in doing what he can on the farm labor front as well.
Christy, it is obvious that the stress on the farm is real, as you have mentioned in responses, and one item that is difficult to talk about is the mental aspect and the consequences that have happened for producers and how they are handling this situation.
It is just heartbreaking to think about the impact that farm stress and mental health can have on farm families and communities and all around those who are struggling. The suicide rate of farmers is 3.5 times that of the general population. It is truly heartbreaking. And Farm Credit prioritizes supporting our employees who are working with farmers and ranchers on a regular basis. We also have provided a number of resources on our farmcredit.com website to help folks realize and understand they're not alone. When you feel better, you farm better, and we want folks to know there is help out there. So on our website, you'll find actually in the community engagement section an Out of the Shadows documentary that one of our associations produced. And it shows that real impact that suicide has on farm families. Bring your Kleenexes, because it is a really tough one to watch, but it is very impactful, and it also reminds help is out there. There are also a number of other resources available on our website, and that includes the training for employees, but also confidential peer-to-peer community resources where folks have the ability to connect with licensed clinicians, with others around the clock. It's really just all an effort to be helpful and supportive to rural families, rural communities, and hope that folks recognize there's support out there, whether it's through Farm Credit or otherwise. We hope that folks who need it will get the help they need.
Well, Christy Seifert, we want to thank you very much for taking time to be with us on this edition of Open Mic. It's a pleasure to be able to talk to you again. Thanks for being here. You've been here before, and you know that guest on Open Mic has the last word.
Jeff, I want to say thank you for all that you do to keep us informed. And I also want to just say thank you to all of our Farm Credit folks out there who are stepping up, stepping in on a regular basis to make sure that we are meeting the needs of agriculture in rural America.
Our thanks to Christy Seifert, President and CEO of the Farm Credit Council, our guest this week on Open Mic. AgriPulse Open Mic is brought to you by the American Sugar Alliance. American sugar production supports over 151,000 jobs and contributes more than $23 billion in annual economic activity. Learn more at sugaralliance.org. For AgriPulse, I'm Chuck Daly.